All right, so happy Martin Luther King Jr. Weekend, Harbor. And we thank you for being here with us for our services this morning. To start today, I want to share with our community a prayer from Dr. King. It's from 1968. I think it spoke to what was going on in the world then, but certainly now as well. Racism, injustice, hatred towards others, instability and chaos. And just thinking about even some of the brokenness and the healing that's even needed for many of us personally. I just thought it was a good prayer to start our time to ask for God's presence and his guidance as we get started. Thinking about the inauguration this week, threats of violence, a divided country. Again, I just thought this would be hopefully an appropriate way just to start our time together. So would you bow your heads and pray with me as we get started? Let's do that together. God, we thank you for the inspiration of Jesus. Grant that we will love you with all of our hearts and souls and minds and love our neighbors as we love ourselves, even our enemy neighbors. And we ask you, God, in these days of emotional tension, when the problems of the world are gigantic in extent, and chaotic in detail, to be with us in our going out and in our coming in our rising up and in our lying down, in our moments of joy and in our moments of sorrow, until the day when there shall be no sunset and no dawn. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. I also wanted to give just a real quick announcement as we get started this morning. This feels like it's something that's worth mentioning to our community and celebrating. December was a fantastic month for us for lots of reasons, but at the top of that list, too, what I would say would be financially. We not only had our generosity offering, which many of you remember, we gave away over $5,600. We had an exceptional turnout when it came to the generosity offering. But December was also the second month in a row where our income exceeded our expenses. And then with year-end gifts, we no longer have a deficit in the year-to-date budget. So, yeah, very cool. God has been faithful to our community, and our Harbor family has been faithful. I'm just exceptionally proud of our community's generosity and grit and resilience. It is definitely a God thing to see that much progress in such a short amount of time. So, again, just wanted to celebrate that with our family this morning and say thank you once again. Okay, so let's jump into our talk today. I had a friend send me an article from a business and technology site a few years ago, and this article was called "Why You Need More Margin in Your Life and How to Get It." Okay, and so here's what the author says in this article. When I was in college, I was a TA for a class called Profiles in American Enterprise. Every week, the CEO of some large corporation would come talk to the class, and then the TAs would grab dinner with these CEOs, these of like Nissan USA and Flextronics, other just huge, huge companies. During dinner, the subject of work, family balance often came up, and it wasn't pretty. Divorce was common. Missing kids' events or games was the norm. Men and women who prided themselves on their ability to move mountains got sheepish, describing the fissures and faults in their home lives. They had constructed their lives in a way that lacked margin. And then the article went on to describe these are people who cram their schedules so full of activities and busyness that their emotional, physical and spiritual health suffers. These folks are constantly around other people, but find it difficult to cultivate deep relationships. They rarely spend time alone or reflect or meditate or pray. They get so used to their frenetic pace that they don't know what to do with themselves on the rare occasion that they have time to themselves. The pace of their lives is unnatural, and it ignores the toll it takes on their bodies and their minds. They convince themselves that their unrelenting schedule is a badge of honor to be proud of. Know anybody like that? Again, this wasn't coming from a spiritual perspective at all. This wasn't Christianity Today or some other publication. That is an article from a business and technology website. So what we've seen throughout this series is that it's easy to overload our lives. I want to do an exercise together as we kind of start today. So if you would, go ahead and hold up your hands like this. We're gonna count together. Hold up both fists for me like this. Thank you for participating and humoring me. I'm going to name different relationships and commitments that we're involved in. And every time I say a relationship or an activity, and you think to yourself, yep, I've got that too. I've got to juggle that. I want you to then hold up another finger. Be careful which finger you hold up first, okay? All right. So if you've got family, and I want you to think of your family of origin. We're talking about relatives here. Put up a finger, all right? If you've got friends, if you've got work, school, dating, spouse, that was a trick question. You should not put up both fingers, but I'm just trying to be an example here. Okay. Family. Now I'm talking about your kids, your spouse. If you have those, go ahead and put up a finger for everyone that you have. Pets, sports, neighbors, hobbies, social media. Anybody run out of fingers yet? Looks like it. At least some of you got a lot going on. Okay, thank you. You can put down your hands. I appreciate that. And the thing that we forgot to mention as we have run out of margin, right? I didn't even say anything about church. I didn't even say anything about our spiritual lives. We need spiritual margin too. But listen, the thing I want to say at the outset is our spiritual lives and spiritual margin as a topic isn't just another category. It's the category that everything else fits into. So I want us to think about this holistically, but certainly for our talk today, we're going to talk about spiritual margin. I do think that most of us at some point have felt like we should be spending more time with the things that nourish us spiritually. Know what I'm talking about? And so that's why we're hitting this as a single subject today, spiritual margin. When we think about our lives, I think that many of us do exactly what we did with that list. We get to the end of that list, or we're well beyond the end of that list. And it's at that point we try to cram God in at the very end. In other words, we treat those things that are spiritually good for us as if they are optional. But it's so much more important than that. So we've been in the book of Genesis a couple times now in this series. In Genesis 1 and 2, you see this inherent goodness of God's creation. From Genesis chapter 3 onward, though, however, you see this stark contrast, this destruction that happens after sin enters the picture. Humanity, in choosing sin, really vandalizes God's intention for his creation. You might say that we had vandalized God's shalom. And in doing that, we really became criminals. We became enemies with God. We see a world so sin-sick that only God can rescue and fix the problem that we have created. And so that's why we talk about our need for a savior. That's why we talk about this sin that needs to be forgiven. That's why we talk about God giving us Jesus Christ to provide us with forgiveness and also a reconnection with him. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 10 says, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." That's the idea of finding our way back to God. And that happens because of Jesus and what God provided for us through Jesus. First Peter describes it this way, starting in chapter 3, verse 18. And this is from the Message version. Here's how it says it. "That's what Christ did definitively for us. Suffered because of others' sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God." So we trust Christ's death to settle our account with sin, to rescue us from slavery, to provide a way back to this unbroken relationship and connection with God. And when we do that, we are repaired, we are restored, we are redeemed. And once again, we are reunited with God's dream for humanity that we see in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And throughout all of the scriptures, but certainly in the very beginning. So listen, living with margin is not just a good idea. It's an attempt to live according to that reconnected dream, that reconnected life that God has for us. One that is reconnected with God, one that is reconnected with others, one that is reconnected ultimately to our world. I heard about an interesting practice by a group of monks, called anchorites. Anchorites have lived multiple times throughout history, but they were big in the Middle Ages. And there was a famous anchorite or anchoress, and her name was Julian of Norwich. And she has been largely impactful even to this day. Now, Julian of Norwich and other anchorites would do something very interesting. They would actually build a room or a cell onto the local church. And they would live in that cell or that room 24/7. They couldn't leave once they had taken that vow. And in that cell, there would be three windows. There was a window that faced the altar so that they could worship, so that they could receive the Eucharist or communion. There was a second window, one that was for giving counsel to others in the church, but also it was a window for someone to take care of their physical needs, because if you're going to spend 24/7 in a small room, you're going to need somebody to take care of you. And then the third window, the final window, was a window that faced the street. It faced outward to interact with the outside world. So just to recap, there was a window for God, there was a window for community, and there was a window for the world. Makes it pretty simple, right? Well, let me just say, as at the outset, I don't think that we need to build little cells or become monks, but I do love what these windows teach us. Keep in mind, when we have just a little bit of structure to our lives, but certainly to our spirituality as well, it can result in a big payoff. Remember that margin doesn't happen until we're saying no to some things, but we've also got to say yes to some things too. We got to figure out what we're going to say yes to first. And I think these windows can be it for us. And then we can add other things as needed. So again, with just a little bit of structure, I think it can help us with margin. So let's start with the first one. We all need that first window. Window number one is about our connection with God. One of the most important ways to have a personal connection to God is to read, is to memorize, and to meditate on scripture. Try starting your day with just a little bit of Bible reading. There are all kinds of different reading plans online. You can go to BibleGateway.com. You can use the YouVersion app. There's all kinds of things in print, okay? But listen, the goal of reading is not just simply to get through the Bible. I always used to think that. I had this big goal of reading it from cover to cover, but it's not about getting through the Bible. It's about getting the Bible into you. Tim described even a couple of weeks ago the idea of meditation beyond reading. That's where we take a small piece of scripture and chew on it all day. Here's a quick example. Psalm 1 is probably one of my favorite psalms. And maybe one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And it says this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Love that. Okay, so here's how we might meditate on something like that. Try thinking about this today. Again, not just through the end of this service, but figure out a way to keep it in front of you all day. Maybe you try to memorize some of this verse. Maybe you write it on a 3x5 card, stick it in your pocket, pull it in and out of your pocket all throughout the day, and give it some thought. think about things like how there's a progression in that first verse. Did you notice that? How it goes from walking to standing and then eventually sitting. Isn't that often what happens with sin? Isn't that often what happens with temptation? There's this progression. You know, in the beginning, we're just sort of exposed to it. And then pretty soon we're rubbing elbows with it. And then pretty soon we're being entertained by it and giving our undivided attention to it. Think about how the person who takes their cue from Scripture, on the other hand, they are consumed with those ideas instead. They chew on it day and night. That person is like a tree with a root system that goes deep into living water. Their whole life is one that draws from this deep well of spirituality, which gives them integrity and strength and margin for the things in life that really do matter. Memorization and meditation are intentionally keeping these truths at the forefront of your mind. You're trying to consciously keep those lessons of Scripture right at the very forefront, right at the very front. Now, the second thing that I want to stress in terms of a spiritual discipline when it comes to our spiritual connection, again, this isn't rocket science, but it's prayer. And what I love about both reading Scripture and prayer is that they can be as short or as long as you would like them to be or you have time for. If you only have 1 minute or even less, you can pray. You can read some Scripture or reflect on it. We talked recently a lot about prayer in our 66 words to live by when we talked about the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. So again, you don't need a long prayer to establish or reestablish this connection with God. And so we're not going to talk about prayer a lot today, but I just want to say this: a life that is grounded in the spiritual disciplines of prayer and Scripture is essential for creating margin. And followers of Jesus have been doing it for centuries. Now, this window that we mentioned, this first window, it faced the altar too. So within the church, there was this room that was connected. And then, of course, this person would have access to what was going on inside the church, even during worship services, to participate or just to be a worshiper themselves. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So the author of Hebrews says that this is an important way for us to, again, reconnect with God. And so we don't give up on the practice of meeting together. Many of us do try to approach spirituality in terms of what it gives us. And so we do things that can be private, like reading Scripture and or pray. But there is a communal aspect that is important as well that the author of Hebrews talks about. And so we do those things in a communal setting as well. All right, so I think the next window, similar to the anchorites, was a window for people. They would use that window for friendship, to offer counsel to those in the church, and to even have their own needs taken care of. So window number two is about our connection to other followers of Jesus or Christians. In Acts chapter 2, I'm sure that many of you are familiar with this passage, but it describes how the early church related to each other. Says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Listen, I can't emphasize enough how important that connection is that we are meant to have with others. That's why we do things at Harbor of Hope like journey groups, women's groups, men's groups, even our kids meet in smaller groups because we have that high of a theology around the idea of others. Next week, as you heard Danielle mention, we've got something coming up called Group Link. So if you want to jump into one of our groups, now is the perfect time to do that. So if you'd like to begin thinking about that, praying about that, again, signups begin next week. They'll go for more than a week, but we would love to have you thinking and praying about a spot that either you could find or we could help you find through Group Link. Okay. So that's the second window. And let's talk about the third one here for a second, real briefly. Window number three is about our connection to our world. It's about finding a place to serve. It's about making a greater impact. Even if we don't see spirituality as optional, many of us see serving and being on a team as an optional thing. It's really interesting. But I would say that there will always be something missing from your life. There will be something missing from your discipleship if you don't serve, if you don't have a way to use those time, talents, and treasures to once again create this kind of dream that God has for not only our lives, but our world that God had made. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So again, we find a place to serve, and we're faithful stewards of the gifts and the abilities that God has given each of us. Now, I know we're all longing for the days when we can kind of get back to normal and serve in the places where we are most comfortable, or maybe we have a history of doing, whether that's in the arts or working with kids or on the outreach team, okay, wherever it is that we typically do that, right? I miss those days too, okay? We're still not in a place where we're able to do ministry at this like pre-pandemic style. But I do think that time is coming back soon. But even pre-pandemic, it's a very common thing when I talk to Christians without margin. They'll attend on Sundays. They might even find a group to belong to, or maybe they even have a team to serve on. But it's such a rare thing to see a follower of Jesus who has margin for all three of those windows and that reconnection. In fact, if you look at its statistics, whether you're talking about statistics in a local church or even what experts tell us about all churches, it's a very small percentage. Even in the best of churches, sometimes only around 20 to 30% have all three of those reconnections made. But we all need a window for connection with God. We all need a window for connection with others. And we all need a window for our connection with the world. And so as we wrap up the series and we think about how we build margin, I hope that's just a little bit of structure that helps us determine what we're going to say no to and yes to moving forward. One other thing I want to mention real quick about this series, I've got another friend who's going to come and who's going to speak to us next week. We were originally going to end this series right here, but I feel like, especially where we're at right now in our world, there are some unfinished things around mental health and spirituality that I want to give somebody else the opportunity to talk with us and help us think through potentially some places that we have not talked about yet. So this friend of mine, her name is Heidi Zwart. She's a strengths and well-being coach, and she's going to wrap up this margin series for us, talk about soul care. So I'm excited about that topic, and you don't want to miss it. So I'll invite you back just a little bit early. All right. So as I was thinking about wrapping up my part in the series today, I've been thinking a lot about why so many of us see margin as optional. We don't see it always as essential. And I want to encourage you to think of margin a little bit differently. There's no way around it. Margin sometimes just sounds like an optional thing. If we can get it, great. If we don't, well, we'll try again next time. But when we hear margin, I want us to replace that word, even though it's the name of our series, and this is probably not good from a marketing perspective. I want us to, instead of the word margin, I want us to think of the word availability. Margin, spiritual margin, all of life is really about availability to God, availability to the relationships that God has put in our lives and that God wants us to enjoy, and availability to the needs of our world that God has put us here to be a part of the solution. What would it look like for us as a community, certainly as individuals, but for us as a community, to create Genesis 1 and 2 kinds of lives? Let's be that kind of community that has availability built in, because it's just that important. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to discuss margin, and specifically today, spiritual margin. I pray that we would never relegate the idea of spiritual margin to that thing that we sort of cram in at the end. God, I pray that you would help us to figure out how to prioritize it first and put those big rocks in the box first, because that's where they belong. God, we all do it though. There are times when we don't prioritize the right way, or we don't leave room for margin. And for that, we say we're sorry and we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your strength to do better the next time, because we know that there's going to be a next time, God, and we want to honor you every chance that we get. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.